Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I am Nolan.
And this is episode 19, where we are going to talk about our experiences with the game Guardian Heroes. But before we do that, I've got a press release to share with you guys.
Can we just
press release? That sounds so official.
We're not going to skip it. I know we're not a news aggregate, but I felt that this particular piece was relevant to what we do here on the podcast. So open your ear holes.
Open.
Gross.
You might already know about this, but it looks like Atari will be bringing 100 iconic games to Steam.
Yeah. You know, I thought that was like whatever, and then I thought, hey, that's probably a good thing for our podcast, actually.
Definitely.
No, that's awesome.
Listen, this is what they said. Fan favorite games like Asteroids, Centipede, Missile Command, Tempest, Warlords, and many more, Atari Vault enables fans to relive the classic gaming experience in the modern age with an upgraded user interface, the addition of online and local multiplayer options, and Steam controller support that provides significantly improved precision control.
That's
for the first
great.
Time ever, fans from around the world can challenge other players on Steam leaderboards and compete for arcade supremacy. All while rocking out to the game's original 70s and 80s soundtracks.
Wow, hold on. I didn't know about the leaderboard thing.
I'm getting top of the Pong leaderboard or else.
What do you guys think about that?
I think that's huge. And honestly, I'm hoping they provide some sort of like bundle, you know? Like where you can get either all of them or a majority of them.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely
do
that.
I would totally buy that because I can put my Steam controller to use, so that's really exciting news. I didn't really care at first, but all those games could probably be added to our list now.
Yeah, no.
That's a big enough category. If we added them in bulk, we'd end up only playing Atari games. But yeah, some of the classic-ist mm-hmm. or the ones people really want us to do.
And it will allow our viewers to pick it up more easily. It's more accessible.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm even bringing this. Do you think that we're going to see more retro games and retro companies follow suit?
I mean, already that kind of exists. Like, you can walk into your generic, like, gaming store right now and buy, like, one of those retrofitted, like, new versions of an NES or a Sega Genesis or all kinds of things. Because,
yeah, but then
like,
to get
retro
the games
are sort
still
of a thing.
Difficult thing.
Yeah, the
that's
whole,
true.
Like, the whole motion to digital library is actually really significant.
It is.
Because then you won't have to go buy a console and then the games, although that's cool for collector's sake. But, like, yeah, I think that's huge and really good news for us. And I hope our PC viewers can take advantage of that. I did not know about the leaderboards, Dustin. That's really cool.
Yeah, so the reason why I ask, at least in part, is because it was very difficult for us three and many of our viewers this week to play Guardian Heroes. There's really only two ways that I know of to play it outside of emulating. That's one, have the original system and the original game, or number two, have Xbox Live Arcade, which at least you've got that option.
Right.
But
right.
We know from just feedback, Holden couldn't get it to work, Bill couldn't get it to work, Antonin said that he spent the better part of the week just trying to set up Guardian Heroes so that he could actually play it, you know?
Yeah.
And so this, it leads to a whole other conversation of, do we just let games go extinct, or is there something that we can do to keep old games alive? And I know that's another conversation for another time, but you know, that's why I'm excited for this Atari release thing, that they're bringing all these games to Steam, and I hope that other companies and other games are going to get digitalized, because I don't want to lose old games. I think that's silly that that's even an option, you know?
It's true.
Yeah, and to answer you, I think there just has to be a demand, and I think right now there's a lack of demand for stuff like that. Like, I doubt there's a huge, say there wasn't a Guardian Heroes remix on the Xbox Live Arcade. I doubt there's a huge audience pushing for Guardian Heroes to be remade or brought to digital or something. I think it's just like a lack of demand. But maybe this Atari thing will awaken a new fan base or something.
Well, let's start demanding. You hear that, viewers?
Yeah.
Demand.
Be more demanding.
Go to your local courthouse and demand that we get these old games digitalized.
Or else.
For now, though, we have a game to talk about, and it was a game that us three got playing, although no one else possibly did, and that is the game Guardian Heroes.
Overview.
So, Guardian Heroes is pretty unique in the genre that it fits into. It's one that I've never really heard of, but even the developers described this game as a fighting RPG. Have you guys heard of a fighting RPG before?
Not really. It makes sense.
I mean,
sense,
I've heard
though.
I've heard of RPGs where you fight, but
yeah, but not
you're
like
saying something different.
It's like okay. Guardian Heroes. It was released in 1996 for the Sega Saturn, as we've already mentioned, and it's kind of like a fighting game in the sense that you've got button combinations, like left, right, B does something, or left, right, down, left, like pretty complicated Street Fighter-esque inputs to make your character fight. And it's a side-scrolling type of playing field, yet you gain experience throughout the level. So that's what I mean by fighting RPG, where at the end of the level you can essentially assign skill points to, I mean, your different attributes, like a special from Fallout or something like that.
Well, yeah. And it's RPG in that it tries to have a little bit of a story as well. Most fighting games, like typical fighting games, are just like either you beat the other person or you don't, mm-hmm. end of the game, you know?
Yeah, not only that, you have choices and decisions you can make to take a certain path. For a game like, you know, this old, that seems like a relatively new, you know, playstyle where you can choose, like the options that you pick and the things you say affect the plot and the story. So it's not linear either. I mean, the levels are, but
so like think of like the side scrolling fighting of, you know, like Double Dragon or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games combined with the beat 'em up style of Street Fighter thrown into the Fallout RPG / Chrono Trigger / RPG. Put that in a high fantasy world and you've got Guardian Heroes.
And mix it all into an old school choose your own adventure book. Mm-hmm. Like from the 70s.
With multiple endings and multiple, you know, fights and enemies and bosses, and you've got Guardian Heroes. So are you imagining this, guys? Because that's exactly what this game is.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds
really
ridiculous.
Kind of a mishmash, mosh up, all of those things of like a number of different kinds of game styles. It makes it feel really unique as a game.
Yeah. Very unique.
It sounds overwhelming, but that's the reality. I mean, understood every little thing that y'all said because I can see where that, you know, that type of game would be
it
seen.
It actually
in
boils
this
down to a really simple game, though. Like, it's something you can pick up and pretty much just play, you know?
I guess. I mean, at the despite all
assuming
of these things,
you get
it's
the
a button masher.
Stuff working. Yeah.
It's a button masher, so you have different combos that you can do, and you fight, and it's a beat 'em up. But
or you can not do, because I put the mash in button mash.
Okay.
I'm that person.
Well, yeah, Kenny's that guy. So it was developed by Treasure. That is the development team. And there's some sequels. Well, I guess one sequel for the Game Boy Advance that came out in 2004, simply titled Advanced Guardian Heroes. I've never played it. Actually, never heard of it. And I was a huge Game Boy Advance fan. Had a lot of games. So I might check that out. And we've already mentioned this as well, but Xbox Live Arcade has remade it in 2011. They released a kind of updated version. And what's cool about that version is you can play the updated new graphics, new feature style, or they actually included the original game in it. So you can play the old school Sega Saturn edition. So that was probably the ideal way to play this game, but
yeah, that's how I played because I already had that game. It's one of the few games I bought on Xbox Arcade a while ago just because I played this game as a child and had fond memories.
Cool.
So I was able to just, like, we decided this was the game, and I turned around and 5 minutes later was doing a playthrough and had the thing beat for the first time this week, like Saturday right after we recorded.
Really?
Yeah.
You played it all the way through?
Yeah, it doesn't take real long.
Yeah, I know. So one of the huge things about this, and we mentioned it briefly, but there are multiple paths at the end of, well, that's kind of in the stages, but let me just suffice to say right now that there are various branches that you can take. And so I actually pulled up online a graphical representation of that, and it's like vertical kind of tree branch thing where you can see what decisions take you to which different paths, and it doesn't look like it's the longest game in the world.
No, it's not. I mean, there's like, I don't remember how many levels total. Is it 30 or 25?
I think 30, but you never play.
But you don't play that,
right?
You're gonna play through like a fourth of that or a third of that.
Yeah,
yeah. Because each option that you pick, sometimes at the end of a stage, you'll have an option that you can pick. Each one will take you to a different level, I believe. We all had a different playthrough, I'm assuming.
Right.
We'd be very lucky to have played the same one.
Two of the things that caught my attention right away about this game was the graphics and the music. Like, the graphics are very vibrant in color and bright. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got some jagged edges and stuff, and that's just going to happen in some of these older games, but it's a very pretty game.
Yeah, kind of anime-esque in the character.
Sort of arcade-ish, too. Big and fun and over the top.
It really feels like, this game feels like a game that you should play in the arcade.
I know. Yeah. I was surprised it didn't originate there, like really surprised.
But even more than the graphics, and I mentioned it, I did actually a first play YouTube video this week. I recorded my first 30 minutes kind of experience with this game, put it up on YouTube. We can't do that all the time, but we want to try to produce some additional content for you guys to interact with, and especially for those of you that weren't able to get the game playing, you could at least go, you know, play it with me for those first 30 minutes. But I mentioned on there the music. Like, it's from the very start, you've got this incredible electronic power music that is just, to me, I thought it was so amazing. Did you guys find the music fascinating in any way?
Yeah, for sure.
I
love it.
It's good. You sort of mentioned it hitting you first at the loading screen. I got a little sick of it because at one point I put the game on intending to play and then got busy like doing some chores, and so had that loading sequence of music play in the background for like 15 minutes straight and wanted to punch a goat in the face. But
yeah, well, that's your
but
fault.
Yeah, but besides that, as long as you're actually like playing the game.
Who does chores?
I don't know, adults?
Nah.
That's what you have a girlfriend
Danny. That's why you got married.
Yeah.
You're off the chores
hook.
It's
a secret to life. No one told
you. Yeah, dude, you should try it.
Just kidding. I really love the music. It's kind of jazzy. Like,
it's very jazzy.
I love that. And really,
there's a saxophone.
There's a saxophone in the game, in the soundtrack. Like,
I'm fighting people with magic, and there's this like electronic music with a saxophone solo.
Love it.
I was blown away, and the diversity in the stage design and the music and so much was probably the most intriguing element to the game for me.
And I really liked. I loved all those things. And the gameplay also really shined for me.
Yeah, let's get specific as we talk about the gameplay.
Gameplay.
What characters did you guys pick? Because at the beginning, you've got a selection of, what, 5 different characters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that. And they've obviously, you can tell by their character design that they've got different strengths and weaknesses. So which one, you don't have to necessarily know their names, but what characters did y'all pick?
This week, I played through mostly sort of like magic-based characters because I haven't as much in the past. I played.
So is that the girl? Nicole?
I played Nicole some because she's got just a fun set of skills and a kind of abusable spell that is sort of that AoE like circle thing that's really strong. And then I played through the other girl that I don't know if you guys were able to because she's like unlockable after you play through.
Serena.
I think that's her name. The one in the red.
Knight.
Yeah, yep. And she's sort of like mixed. You can play her either way. But one of my more thorough playthroughs, I played through with her and played her again sort of as a magic character.
Nolan, what that's about cool. you?
Sorry, Dustin. I played Randy also.
Nolan, you knew I played Randy.
I know, but I decided to play Randy from watching the trailer or like gameplay of it last Saturday. So I wasn't going to change because he's awesome and he's got a pet rabbit.
Yeah, which I couldn't even tell that it was a pet rabbit at first, but that obviously I'm gonna pick that because I own a pet rabbit. But Randy is, he's not necessarily magic based, although I think each of these characters do have magic abilities, right?
I don't
I
know.
believe
I just
so.
played Randy and I thought he was like the magic user.
They each have like different spells they can use, some of them more, some of them less, but they can all use at least a spell or two, I think.
He kind of looks like a shepherd, and he's got a staff, and but he's not magic based. He's more kind of like agility. He's very quick, and then he's got his pet rabbit, and so
And he's
th
funny.
those are, well, yeah, and he's like the little kid and kind of humorous, and so they've all got their personalities. I believe that the story starts the same way, right? So you're whichever character you pick, you're in
You
a
just
village,
fall
and
into a burning building, yeah.
your team is kind of like stolen or gained this sword, and you've got to escape from that building and through the village and go into a forest. And then in there, you end up in a cemetery type thing. And then after that scene, I believe that the story splits. And depending on the character you are and the options you have, for example, after I got out of the cemetery, I had three options. And they were like, go to town or go to a nearby village or go into the forest and rest. And so those would branch you off into a different stage with different enemies, and would take you through a different arc, through a different story.
Right. It kind of lets you mold the way that you want to play through the story
It
and
is. And I don't
gives
know
you
if
some
you guys
decisions.
realize this, but slightly deeper, and I think this is in the original game as well, though it may only be in the remixed version. I'm pretty sure it's in both. There's also a karma system
Yeah.
that you don't see up front, like you're not actually making decisions, but how you play the game, like how you treat innocent civilians and whether you like continue to hit dead bodies after they're dead and like the actions
Really?
you take in the game will actually affect whether the ending that you get, and it may even just be as simple as like the cutscene at the very end is like a positive one or like a darker one.
Really?
Which is pretty
Because
cool.
well, then I'm sure I'm like evil incarnate, because when there's a dead body, I would continue to lob it in the air and hit it for as many times as I possibly could, just to try
Absolutely.
to get my like
Free
combo multiplier up.
and like free experience and stuff, like I think everybody did does.
Yeah, so like a standard RPG, at the end of each stage, the experience you gained in that stage translates into levels, and then you get to distribute those leveling up points to one of your six attributes. Think special from Fallout. Like, it really is very similar to that. You've got you've got your strength, and you've got your magic, and you've got your intelligence, and you've got your agility and your luck. You've really got a lot of those things, and then you build up your character kind of how you want it. And obviously that determines how well you do in the next stage, or what kind of play style you're going to play in the
Yeah,
following stages.
very replay friendly.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously with the multiple characters, but not only that, you've got different builds, and not only that, you've got different decisions and paths that you can take to get to the end game. And now that I've just learned about a karma system, you can change the way that your morals are, I guess. So, really, it's kind of an intricate game for being on the Sega Saturn. I mean,
Yeah.
even new karma systems don't take into account you beating a corpse.
Like that sounds really, really complex, but like there are only so many stages, and as you're making choices between the stages, you're really just jumping to something that's already pre-scripted. It's not like there's a huge, huge, huge number of outcomes to the game. You play the
Well, but
game through
that's
like 5 or 6 times and get creative on your path, and you're going to see almost everything to be seen. But
That's all your kind of choose your own adventure things. They're always
exactly.
going to like funnel back to a general area. You still with this game and most of those stories, you've got, I think you do have multiple endings, and you
Yeah,
do
you
have
do.
multiple routes and boss fights, and so you're not going to see everything in one
Oh,
playthrough. You
no.
might not even see everything in two playthroughs,
You'd have to do a number of playthroughs for sure.
but it's going to funnel you back to a general
Absolutely. And
area
it makes you
eventually.
feel like you're relating to the story, that you have some
Yeah.
kind of control. How you're feeling that day
Yeah.
can be the way that you play and the way you make decisions,
So, what is the story? Should we talk about the story?
Yeah, we really should. because I didn't understand it. It confused me from the beginning, and then it just got more convoluted. And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, a problem for me was the size of the cast. Like from the very beginning of the game, 12 people jump into the room together, and I don't know who they are or what's going on, and then it adds more characters and depth to the story from there.
You definitely sort of fall right into the middle of the story, and then the story gets really big really fast.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't get simpler.
No, and it does that with a lot of cutscenes, and a few of them are long, and though they're interesting the first time or two, later you're kind of like, okay, skip it, I want to mash more buttons, because, you know, those tend to be the same over and over again.
But a basic a general description of the story, I guess, would be, as Dustin has mentioned, your team finds this sword, and you start getting chased by bad guys. At the end of that stage, you realize you can't wield that sword, and instead of using it, the guy who like holds it, his name is Han, gets electrocuted, and then this zombie corpse, this knight, comes out of the cemetery, wields the sword, and starts like killing this, like just destroying things. It turns out he was this ancient knight that helped fight in the early like rebellion or something, and now the current kingdom is full of false people. They're manipulating people, and like that's not even a good description, because there's even more.
No, because then you end up going on and either like fighting against like good itself or like fighting against evil itself, and you can end up like in this game's like version of like heaven or hell. Even it's not quite that like extreme, but like in sky fighting against like supernatural beings, or like
or the earth.
In a like yeah in like an earth sort of like underworld. And so it goes from being, you know, hey, rebellion, to like pretty epic in scope almost immediately. And in most playthroughs, I think you can do a traditional like just help the rebellion playthrough somehow.
Let's be honest. Kenny fought for Satan.
That's not,
he went to the sky and destroyed.
You don't ever know like what your choices are gonna do. I've done playthroughs where it's like, oh, I just became evil. But yeah, that's not generally
accidentally.
Accidentally, like oops.
Oops,
I must have hit a
person.
Lot of dead bodies.
Yeah, interesting. So let me ask this, because this is something that I thought from the start of my playthrough, and I didn't get far enough to be able to see if this actually did happen. But that golden warrior that is a skeleton that wields the sword, he doesn't stay on your side, does he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See, from the start, I was like, I was convinced this guy is going to turn against you. He's going to be a bad guy. If you give a powerful sword to an undead skeleton creature, I've just been conditioned to assume that that's going to be an enemy.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10, that's not good.
Yeah, so he stays good the entire time.
I mean, he obeys you for whatever you want to do the entire time.
So he can be your little evil familiar.
Yeah, if you want. I mean, I kind of felt the same, because when he first comes to life, he tries to attack you, and you're like, whoa, 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 and then all of a sudden he doesn't, because you told him not to, and
yeah,
I was like, that's
stop.
Sketchy. Like, I don't know.
Let's be real, as much as he's a zombie knight, he kind of looks more like a robot.
Yeah, and there are robots in this game, believe it or not.
There's a huge diversity, like, between, like, knights and physical users, but magic, but then, like, animals and creatures, and it's really diverse.
One of the other things we haven't mentioned that I think is very important to mention in regards to gameplay and mechanics is the three different planes of battle. Because
yeah,
most of your games don't have that. Like, I'm trying to think of like some of the Ninja Turtle games where you can like jump up like to a higher level, but you can't. But it's not like a It's not a depth of field type thing, but in this game, you've got your foreground, you've got your middle ground, and you've got your background, and you've got buttons that will move you through those different areas. And if you're on one area, the physical attacks from the enemies in a different area won't hit you, so they have to jump to your area, or you have to jump to theirs. It's a very interesting mechanic that it's easy to get like twisted up on which plane you're mm-hmm. actually on.
And you know, it was kind of hard at first for me to kind of see those planes or those lanes really of where, like, who is on what lane. But then I noticed the developers added shadows to you and to every character sprite.
Really?
So that helped me at least. The shadow will follow them. Say you jump between lanes, it'll follow them, and then it'll be on the ground underneath them. So I think the shadows helped with that, and that may be why they even put it in there.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that's kind of like our gameplay experiences with it. And taking all that into account, how do you guys think that this game has aged?
Aged.
I think it's aged fairly well. Some of the kind of like my favorite part of the games, the tone of the story, the kind of look and feel and bright and lots of action and big graphics and button mash and you just sort of jump in there and kind of go crazy, I think is still real relevant. You know, relative to like other types of games, it maybe gets a little stale, even though there's some things they did to specifically try and help replayability, I think. But overall, it's an enjoyable enough game that I think people can pick it up and play it for sure.
I mean, you played it multiple times this week, right?
Yeah.
Like, not only multiple, experiences, but you played through the entire story at least once, right?
I did the whole story once and then just picked it up and played a few characters a couple of different times. That being said, the story's fairly short, and so I probably put a little less total time into this game this week than I have some of the other games, partly
really?
Because I was familiar with it enough
right.
that, you know, that I could feel informed, but I'd also, you know, finished a playthrough. So it's that, you know, it's kind of like it's quick and easy and light, but then it's not like deep. It's like it's really, really wide, but kind of shallow.
I think it aged fairly well. And I think you also have to consider the year it came out. It came out in 96. So for that year, to me, it feels a little old even from the beginning. But that it was on the Sega Saturn, and for that type of console and this type of game, I think it was impressive at the time. And now the reason I think it aged is because the gameplay and the actual genre that it is, like just what the game is and how you play it, the fighting RPG, I think that's unique enough that it still feels fresh. And I know there's probably a couple games out there that maybe have similar styles of gameplay. And when I think about it, there's probably a lot. But this one, at its core, is just a fighting game through the stage. And then, but yet you can level up and you can spec your character. So I think that's unique enough that's why I think it has aged well. So yeah, I think also considering the year needs to be, taking the year into consideration when thinking about that is also important, because I think 2 years later, Ocarina of Time came out maybe. Yeah, that's my thought on it.
I agree with a lot of what you guys said, and I agree that there are most likely other games that are similar to this, but I really don't think that there are going to be tons of games that have the genre of beat 'em up, hack and slash, action, RPG, all mixed into one.
Especially with
I don't
like
know
this style and tone, you know? Like the whole tongue-in-cheek just like humor of the game and types of characters was to me one of the most fun things.
Let me just say, I'm not a fan of beat 'em up games. I've never been a good button smasher or smasher.
Yeah,
I've never been good. Like, I need to take my times. I like an ATB, active time bar. I like, you know, making my decision, waiting. You know, if I need to wait 30 minutes before I make my next decision of how I'm going to attack or what magic I'm going to use, I'm all about that kind of fighting
style. Needs a strategy guide.
Yeah, using a strategy guide. I don't like these high-intensity, fast-paced games. That being said, that does not necessarily play into my opinion on how well it aged, because that's kind of irrelevant in regards to that. I do think the game, I'll use the exact same verbiage that you guys have used, I think it aged fairly well. I think the graphics have aged well, especially with, you know, your Xbox re-release. You've got some updated graphics if you want it, so that adds to it. I think the music is spectacular. Not that it's like something that I would jam to on a regular basis, but I just thought it was so
much
fun.
No, it's a lot of fun.
It fit.
And it fits the game. It does.
where I don't think it excels is the genre. I don't know if what they created works well. I think it would be it could be a cult classic for some, you know, for those that like a beat 'em up type of game, but I think for your general populace, this isn't going to be a game that draws people in. And so for that reason, I think that the game aged fairly well, but I've got some reservations on it and think that it's going to only be able to kind of like connect with the hearts of a select group of people rather than the general populace as a whole.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
So those are our opinions in regards to how it aged. Now, the only thing that we have left to do with Guardian Heroes is to wrap it up.
The final shell shock.
So during this section, last week, we threatened you guys. And
we
our
did?
Threat seemed... Yeah. We said...
Remember when Dustin said he was going to go to a viewer's house and set it on fire?
Didn't say that, but we did say we're going to take privileges away because we're going to use this section to talk with our viewers and kind of read some of their commentary on the games that we and they played this last week. It was all in jest last week, but some of our viewers, I guess, took it seriously, and so we actually got a lot of communication this week, which is really cool.
We do love that, guys. It's great.
We do. I just hate that I had to be like, I had to, you know, pull out my belt.
Yeah, had to get a little aggressive there.
Yeah, but let me Bill, good old Bill.
Bill
has been recording on or has been replying to us on SoundCloud, you know, for a long time now, and he emailed us. He said, "Hey guys, after a couple of weeks hearing the lack of responses from other viewers, love that.
Shots.
I figured I'd give the game a try. Boy, did I pick the wrong week to play along with you guys."
Bill, that's so funny.
I grabbed a Saturn emulator, and maybe something was messed up with the ROM, but is it just me, or was the sound the worst thing ever? The ROM was probably messed up. Sadly, beat 'em ups aren't my favorite genre by a long shot, but the way this game throws you right into the action was confusing at best. I 100% agree with that, guys. Anyways, oh well, I didn't give it much of a shot, but I didn't want you guys feeling like your viewers weren't playing along with you guys. I look forward to your podcast every week. Keep it up.
My boy.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
It's fun.
I agree with his statement concerning throwing you into the action. There's no kind of walkthrough, no kind of guide. It doesn't say do this or do that or here's what buttons work. It's just like, go for it, and you're thrown right
in
the middle of the chaos.
I like that because... I don't need a long tutorial. Sometimes I do, and I've complained in the past about some of these games, but this one was easy enough to understand. It's like, okay, I'm about to beat the crap out of these guys. Let me just start mashing buttons. And
it's true.
I liked it.
It's not like it was like me playing Fallout for the first time, where I was like,
right.
What? And then killed some rats and felt like I had to give up. Like, you can jump in and play, but yes, the story does get right on you, and it's a little frustrating. But it's kind of fun when people do play along, because some of those, like, both highlights and frustrations are things that we fight with every week to try and make this happen. So it's always great when our viewers get a little taste of that, for good or for bad, because both are fun. That's part of the adventure here.
Our BFF Antonin emailed us again. He expressed his difficulty with trying to get Guardian Heroes to work, as I already mentioned. But then he said, when he finally got it to play, I could totally see myself enjoying it at an arcade or a movie theater.
Exactly.
And it's fun, but it's also frustrating. The controls were completely foreign to me, and without a proper Sega Saturn controller, it was difficult to work with the game. I'd use a button to attack, and when I'd use it again, the attack was completely different, which made the game unpredictable to me. So how can I press a button and not get the expected response? Maybe I didn't play it enough to get used to it. And that's probably the whole button combo type thing, you know, left, right, and
yeah,
and
it's going to do something different.
Well,
every time.
And anytime you're playing a controller-based game without like the controller that it was set up for, whether you're playing on a keyboard or even a different controller, it's going to feel foreign and difficult.
Antonin said, graphics were fine. Otherwise, it reminded me of Street Fighter, but on arcade mode, which was nice. Maybe a story mode. But the music wasn't too bad either. I found myself often at odds with the timing. You press a button, you never know if it's too soon. That meant that half of my button presses went unnoticed. Like I said, I did not get far because I literally spent hours trying to set this game up. I wish I had more time to dedicate to it. I hope you guys had a better experience playing the game.
I just want to point this out in agreeing with Antonin. It's absurd this game is not an arcade game. Yeah, like that it really didn't come out for like arcade that. First, and then it got adapted to a console. It's crazy. It's
not only because
up.
Of the feel, but like I think it's set up to be a two-player game.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
like,
you
it
can,
is.
You can even go in multiplayer and play together, like through these, where you're, yeah, you can play against each other just in like battle mode. Everything about it screams arcade. They really took that arcade experience and brought it like to a console.
Into the home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holden was one of our other viewers that messaged us. He said that he had added difficulty of trying to get the game work because he has a Mac. I just told him that it was the thought that counts, but you know, so he didn't even get it playing. But at least, guys, thank you so much for emailing us. Thank you for sending in your commentary. Do this week after week, even if it's just like a couple sentences of letting us know that you love the game or you tried the game and you hate it, whatever it might be.
Absolutely,
we love interacting with those messages.
And for incentive for next week, to send in your thoughts, Kenny will do the Cinnamon Challenge. And post it to YouTube.
Absolutely. Check it out on our New Game Plus YouTube. 5 people sending in their stuff. Kenny's doing the water challenge.
The waterboard challenge.
The water breathing challenge. All right, Kenny, do you give Guardian Heroes your New Game Plus status of approval?
It's hard. I mean,
I can't.
You know, I'm
that's
bad
really
at
good.
Decisions. Let me go last today. I haven't made up my mind yet.
I'll go. I know mine.
Nolan.
No. And it's because I've played through it once and I'm done with the game. One day I would like to give the arcade Xbox Live Arcade version a try, possibly, because it looks really good. Like, it looks like they updated it very nicely. But yeah, I feel like I've experienced the game. I feel like it was enjoyable to some degree. I can respect what it is, but I would not give it a New Game Plus stamp of approval.
I have been going back and forth this entire podcast trying to determine what I if I would give it New Game Plus or if I would not. And after discussing it with you guys, I would probably say that I don't. I think that the audience is so narrow. And once again, if you've heard what we've described in this podcast and that's intrigued you, go play it by all means. But I don't think that it's got tons of replay value for me personally and for the majority of people in this day and age. I will go back to, I don't know if this kind of collaborative genre worked. And so that's my opinion. I do not give it my New Game Plus status.
I think I'm going to make us go split decision, which we tend to usually agree all the time. And with caveats of, yes, it's limited in its audience. And yes, it's going to feel like an arcade game. It's not something you're going to put hours and hours into. But it's fun and funny enough and enjoyable enough and was unique enough when it first came out. And I've also got the nostalgia play factor playing in a little bit. But it's an enjoyable game. And I think if a lot of people pick it up with the right approach, not taking it too seriously, but just sitting down and having fun with a game, that it's something that they could still enjoy today, even though it came out well over 15 years ago.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. We have a special announcement here at the tail end of our podcast.
Nolan's pregnant.
No, last week we told you that one of us were going to get fired, and you guessed it right. Kenny, you're out of here.
Peace out. I'm going to just play Rocket League all the time and never old games anymore.
You
That's
could start a
true.
Rocket League podcast, Kenny, but just by yourself.
Just me wishing that it was old games.
Next week is, believe it or not, our 20th episode.
That is hard to believe.
That's crazy. Goes fast.
And we will be having on that episode our very first guest.
This is very exciting.
Should we leave it as a surprise as to who it is?
No.
No?
No, let's announce it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, people want to see this guy.
Okay, because he's from the gaming community. He's got his own YouTube channel, and he's doing an incredible thing right now where he's got a book of 1001 games that you must play before you die. You've probably seen the book before, but I know I have. And he's playing through. His goal, I guess, is to play through all 1001 of those before he dies. And
That's
he's
awesome.
Going to
like complete playthroughs.
I don't know about complete playthroughs, but he's at least playing portions of it, and he's doing that in kind of a Let's Play fashion. And
Very
so
cool.
he's got He's got close to 100 videos already as he's kind of cataloging and recording that process.
I can see him in a recliner with like this long Zeus beard finishing the last one. It's like, never. It's done.
1001. He's going to be a great first guest as we talk about the game that he selected, which is Contra 3. That's the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. And then we're going to bring in Gaming Jay to be able to talk with him about this game that he is playing this week, that we are playing this week, and that we're going to come together at the end of this week to be able to talk about and record our 20th episode for you guys. So that is the special announcement.
Very exciting.
Very cool. It'll be a lot of fun hanging out with him, hearing his perspective on the game. So good week to introduce somebody new to the podcast. If you've got a friend who would be interested in this kind of stuff, or somebody who's a gamer who hasn't really done the retro thing but you think they might enjoy it, this would be a great week to tell somebody to give it a listen.
Not only that, Contra 3 is going to be really cool, so I'm looking forward to playing that.
I haven't played 3. I have really fond memories of the original Contra, and I'd imagine it only got better, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Thank you for your support, especially those of you that reach out to us via social media and through email. If you're not yet subscribed to us on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, that's completely free to do. It's not like a paid subscription. We're not taking any money from you yet.
But
feel free to subscribe and get all of your family members to do the same. Grandma, grandpa, play with us this next week and then tweet us or send us an email with your commentary, good or bad, and we'll interact with you on the next episode. We're looking forward to next week. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
Why are we ending this in reverse?
And this is New Game Plus.